Good morning. That was amazing worship, wasn't it? Man, I'm ready. I'm fired up. I hope you are. Well, welcome to our visitors. Welcome. Just welcome. It's good to have you here this morning in worship. Pastor Gary and Donna are in Mississippi right now, enjoying the 60 to almost 70 degree weather on the beach. They're there for the NPR, which is our kind of like denominational network of related pastors. And later today, all the other campus pastors and a bunch of leadership will be going down to Mississippi. So I'm going to ask you right at the top before we get going here, would you just lift Pastor Gary and Pastor Rick and all of the other pastors up in the leadership this week, Sunday through Thursday. We're down in Mississippi and we're getting poured into. We would cover your prayers. So if you could just lift this up. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, hey, listen, you and I are made for relationship. Amen. You and I are made for relationship. And I don't know if you've come here this morning, how you're feeling about yourself, that set that we just sang, that amazing set. It was great, because what it does is it prepares our hearts to think about what God wants to do in our lives. And as Doug said today, it's connection group kickoff and connection group Sunday and all those things. But I want you to think about that you and I are made for relationships. Relationships. So you think of Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, in the very beginning, all the way back in the book of Genesis, God, it says this, it is not good for man to be alone. Right? And it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for woman to be alone. And usually that's in the context of marriage. But I would submit to you this morning, it's also in the context of relationship with one another. It's in the context of how we do life together. And we're not made to be alone. We're made for one another. We're made to have a relationship with God this way, and this way we're made to have a relationship with others, like that three-prong extension cord. That's what we're made for. And I don't know what you've come in here this morning. Like, I long for community. I love Jesus's church. I love Jesus's church so much that I've given my life to it, right? And I'm excited to tell you about it today. But listen, when you think about that, you're designed for relationship. You're made for relationship. You ever feel that, like, kind of longing in your heart, like, man, I'm missing something, right? That's placed there, like this thumbprint, right? This thumbprint cookies. That thumbprint God puts right in your heart, and that's made for relationships with Him. How about this? The very nature of the Trinity. God, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's a relationship. Right in there, that's the ultimate relationship. So if they are made in relationship, and He made His creation for a relationship for one another and for Him, why do we think that we can do it alone? What is that? Why do we think that we can get through this life in isolation and our own bootstraps and willpower and Pittsburgh grit? Why do we think we can do that, right? And I'm here to tell you this morning that God has made each one of us for a relationship. That's why we have Connection Group Sunday. I'm excited for this. But I want you to think about it. Consider some of the relationships you've had in your life, right? Here's my first question. What are some of the relationships that have impacted your life for the good? Relationships that have impacted your life for the good. I want you to think about that right now before I move on. Silence. Okay, you got it? Good. Here's my example. Here's the relationship that I can think of for the relationship for the good. In seventh grade, my cousin Kent took me to this little place called Beaver CMA. That's where I went to church. And my brother and I were there. And we go down to Sunday school, and we run through the halls, and we kind of like do like a power driver to the couch, and as middle school boys do. And as I look up, oh my goodness, I see the most beautiful girl in the world. And I was like, who is that? And my cousin was like, her name is Melanie. Yeah, kids, don't try this at home, okay? So in seventh grade, I saw my wife for the first time. I met her in youth group. Now, I did my best. I chased her all through middle school, right? She wouldn't want anything to do with me. Yeah. And then in high school, it started to escalate. It started flirting. You know, we went to the same church, but different high schools, so I get it. You know, it's a space thing. It's a proximity thing. But I just kept, you know, I have to say, like, she kept me coming back to church, right? It was the greatest outreach event. I just kept coming back. I would, like, sit in the same youth group room, and I could hear, it was like the Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. They were preaching and teaching, telling me things I should know, and I was just looking at her like, oh my goodness. And, you know, I had to repent of those thoughts, you know. But I'm telling you, it was like, that's when it started, right? It's seventh grade. I saw this beautiful girl, and then I chased her through middle school, and I chased her through high school. She's rolling her eyes at me right now, right? And then in college, we went to the same college up the road here in Geneva College in Beaver Falls, and we started the date for the first time. Yeah. Then it was, she broke up with me. She gave me the it's not you, it's me card. Anybody ever have that? She gave me that, right? And so I was sad, of course, and I kept pursuing her, and, you know, it's not you, it's me. I had to work on some things, and she wasn't ready, I was. But later, our senior year, we started to really seriously date, and in my mind, I was courting her, you know, trying to get her to, you know, it was pretty serious, Doug. So, but for me, I saw in her, not only was she beautiful, I saw her faith. It was attractive to me. At this point, I was all in on Jesus' church and ministry. But what I saw in her was something in. So we became friends and humor, and we went on dates and things like that. And then a year or so after college, we got married. A year. She said, it's a year. My bad. A year later, we got married. And that was 23 years ago. Yeah. 23 years ago. 23 years ago, two kids later, a crazy dog. We could write a book about what we learned serving in Jesus' church and what we've learned. We don't have it all together, right? We're still growing. We're still learning one another. But what here? Why am I telling you this? You're like, why? Melanie's captivated me at a very early age. But it wasn't until we started really seriously dating that I began to see Jesus in her. It was a relationship that became transformed. That our relationship grew from friendship and flirting, then it grew to like serious dating. But it was that transformation. I wanted to be the best man I could be because of what I saw in her. I wouldn't want to be a scrub. I didn't want to do that, right? I had to up my game and really work on myself and deal with baggage that I had. It was because of this transformation that I saw in Melanie that I too wanted to have that. And so I want to tell you this, that God transformed our relationship. It's a relationship that was for the good, right? Because she sharpens me and makes me better, and I like to think I do that with her. It's more for me, I'm telling you, right? But it's a relationship that's for the good. And I want you to think about those relationships. Do you have relationships in your life that are causing you to become more like Jesus and more like him and less like yourself? That's the relationship I have with Melanie. It's a transformative relationship. Now listen, I recognize the tension with all this. For every one of those good relationships, we all can think of a bad relationship that drove us away or caused pain or caused us to have hurts, right? Are you with me? And so that's what we have. So perhaps you're here someone today that has had a relationship that hasn't been good and hasn't been transformative in your life. Maybe it's because of past hurts or just even the hectic pace of life that you're just starving for community, but you're so busy you can't figure out, how can I have these transformative relationships? I'm a person that loves relationships. I'm a pastor because I want to point people to these transformative relationships that happen because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he did on the cross. But here's the other thing. Because of this thing of Romans 12, these transformation of the heart and mind, that we can have this relationship with one another. We've been in this series. This is kind of our launching verse in Romans chapter 12, where Paul was writing to the church in Rome. And he was talking to these Roman Christians. And he was saying, don't conform to the patterns of Rome. Don't get caught up in their ways. Don't mix their ways with the church and their ways with the ways of God. Don't do that. And so here's what he says in verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern the will of God or understand the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so when we have this transformation process of becoming more like Jesus. That's the whole goal of what we're talking about this, right? That's the whole goal. We're becoming more like Jesus. A big churchy word is called sanctification. It's a process of becoming less like our old selves and our old ways and becoming more and more like Jesus. Don't you want that for your life? We want that for you. And so here's a big idea. The process of becoming more like Jesus through relationships that transform us, renewal of our minds, and revealing of God's truth in scriptures. And so that's what we're going to look at. Today we're going to really kind of drill down on those relationships that we have. But we have to have this understanding. In order to have transformed relationships, we have to put off old ways, right? We have to put off old ways to take on God's new ways for our lives. I know I have some patterns and habits that I'm still working on, right? That God says, Ben, you need to deal with those. But you think of my daughter, Emma, we had this furniture for her that my grandmother gave to me. It had this old paint and lacquer and finish on it. We had to strip all of that old paint and lacquer off in order to put on the new paint and lacquer to make it look acceptable and Melanie's stamp approval, let's be honest, right? So, but think about our lives. Like this, your old patterns of lives are like maybe like the furniture, that old piece of furniture that God is just stripping away, that old paint and those old ways and those rough edges, right? In order to make you a new creation in Him. He wants to transform you from an old piece of furniture into a cooler, newer piece of furniture, right? And so we have to remove those things, reveal those things in our life. Maybe those habits or those dependencies, codependencies or addictions that we might have. Or maybe it's just fear, right? We ask God to reveal those. We need to remove them, get rid of those. Ask God to remove them. We did prayer last week. It was an amazing time, but we were removing those things. But it could be, you might be in a relationship right now. It could be a friendship, could be whatever, any type of other relationship, right? That it is not good for you. Maybe God's saying, hey, maybe examine that and see what I can do to transform that. Maybe there's something in your mind, in mind, and heart that He can do, but then maybe there's something He can do in their heart as well. And then replace them through good friendships that are redemptive. That's our goal. We want to replace those. And so we have that formula, right? We want it to renew, reveal, remove, replace, to have that renewed mind and perspective. So we have these mindsets. We talked about what's a mindset. A mindset is a collection of thoughts and beliefs that shape your habits, affecting how you feel and what you do. And so we have mindsets, even when it comes to relationships. Those are impacted by our past. That's impacted by the way we grew up. Those mindsets about relationships could be healthy. They also could be damaging and holding you back. And so we want to have that transformative process in our lives as we grow in our relationships. We want to be in relationships that transform us, that make us more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And so what does that look like, right? Think about this. Psalm 27:17. This is a great verse. I love this verse. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens another. Let me read that again. As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. You know, you think of a knife set. In order to get that knife sharp, you have to scrape it on against some iron, right? And sometimes we need those relationships in our life. People to keep us sharp. Do you feel sharp in your relationships right now that God has you in? Or just kind of going through the motions? I can tell you this, God wants you to be sharp. Sharp for His sake, for His glory, right? For you to have a better understanding, for you to have a transformed perspective. That's what God wants for your life. And so we think of that as iron sharpens iron. Are you a friend that helps your friends or your relationship become sharp? I really want to be that person. I want to be a type of man, a type of husband, a type of dad, a type of friend, a type of coworker, whatever, that is helping other people become sharp and look like Jesus. I don't want them to encounter me and go, oh boy, I'm glad he's gone. Like a wet wash rag or Eeyore. Remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? I hope that reference landed. I hope it does. But it's like you're down, or Debbie Downer, maybe that will work too, right? We're just such a downer that people are like, what is going on, right? We want to keep people sharp, right? When they encounter the Holy Spirit, do they see like a Spirit-filled life when they encounter us? And so we want to be that, as sharp as iron for another person, right? It does make a difference what you believe about relationships, because what you believe determines how you behave, right? So if you have this belief that you're no good, or you just have lack of self-worth, you're going to start acting a certain way, and that's going to come out in how you interact with people. That's not what God wants for you, right? He wants to transform your mindset so He can put you in relationships that are transformative for His glory, right? How about this? Your friends and the relationships you have will determine the quality and direction of your life. They'll determine the direction you go. You think about that. I think I told you a story about my upbringing last week. my mom married two men that were alcoholics. That didn't turn out too well for her. I didn't tell you to say this last week. Guess who her third relationship was? Another alcoholic who ended in divorce. Three divorces. And it's sad because who we hang out sometimes will determine the way we go. There's some things that, some root issues that she needed to deal with, still does, right? And I'm not throwing my mom under the bus. I'm just showing you here that we all need to, I learned from my mom and her mistakes, right? And her painful things that she went through. But who we hang out with and who we are around will determine the quality and the direction of your life. And I can tell you this, God wants you to be transformed in those relationships. So think about that. Are these relationships that you're currently in, are they bringing you closer to Jesus? Or are they driving you further apart from him? That's a good determination of who he is. Listen, we have these application points. We have these application points. Pastor Gary has been talking a lot to our staff, and he's been saying to me, we have to have a strategy, right? We have to have a strategy about how we're going to deal with the things in our life. We have to have a strategy for the relationships we find ourselves in, right? And so he says this. The first one that we want to think is admit. Admit you have a pattern. Admit that there's something or a stronghold or a mindset that's keeping you from coming into a relationship that's transformative. Ask for help. Say, ask for help. Ask for help. That's what we're called to do. We're not meant to be alone. Ask for help. And so that's what I love about this whole idea, truth we find in Romans 12 and throughout Paul's writing, is that he's begging the early church to do life together, to live in unity, to live in transformative relationships. There's a lot of great things happening here at Brighton Heights, right? And so we need to lean on one another and ask for help and ask for clarity and definitions. Asking for help is not weakness. Asking for help is not weakness. If you ask for help, that doesn't mean you're a lesser person or you're a weak person. I would say this, that it makes you a stronger person. It makes you a Christ-like person if you ask for help. The next thing is we need to apply God's truth, God's word. We look at God's word in Romans 12 or Ephesians 4 as we're going to today. We're going to take those principles and apply them to our situation. That's what we're going to do. We're going to use God's word, not what we see on Facebook or what we see on Instagram or what we see on the TV. We're going to take God's word. That's where we're going to start. We're going to go from there and apply it. And then here's the thing. You're going to be active. You're going to get after it. You're going to have that let's go. You're going to, let's get after this. This active mentality that I'm going to continue to pursue God and holiness. I'm going to pursue relationships that are going to be transformative. Yeah. Listen, I want to tell you that God doesn't want you to just idly be consumer Christians. He wants you to be Christians that are hungry for transformation. And Christians that live in holiness and seeking to bring other people to him through the way you interact with them. That's why we do connection groups. That's why we do connection groups at Bridge City Church. We want people to be sharpening one another through relationship. Laughing together, crying together, studying the word of God together, letting the Spirit move on us and convict us and correct us and guide us, right? Having good food, using illustrations with power tools, right? Those types of things, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to do this, and so we're going to have an opportunity afterward to get signed up for connection groups. So if you're sitting here, you feel lonely, you feel disconnected, you feel isolated, I want to ask you to shake that off and get up and move forward and get signed up, okay? Hey, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he's pleading with them. He's talking about relationships. He's coming to them and begging them to be a church, to be representatives that represent Jesus well. And they do that through their relationships. And this is what it says. So turn with me to Ephesians 4. It's up on the screen. This is what he says. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Say the body of Christ. Body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by the wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. But instead, verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Do you hear it? More and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly as each part does its own specific work and helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing in full love. Healthy and growing in full love. Do you hear these things? These happen together, not apart from one another. They happen in the context of being together and unity, being God's church in the body, right? My thumb cannot function on its own. I know you can maybe try with Mr. Potato Head. You can't work it, right? It can't function on its own. It needs the whole body to be one. And so that's what Paul was trying to say here. So verse 11, we see that Christ, it said Christ gave to the church all these different offerings. They're the prophets and preachers and teachers. But he also gave other abilities. And each one of us has a different ability and a skill set the other person might not have. And so that's what makes the body of Christ function as the body of Christ. That's why it's called that, right? And so he's given us these different gifts and abilities. Are you using your abilities and giftedness for God's glory? Or are you just sitting on it right now? There's no way that we should have more bench depth, if you will. We should have like at least 4 more ushers to help out. We should have more children's workers, right? There are there's ministry here that we might not even know of that you and only you can do. And God wants you to use that. And he wants you to use it in the context of community. And so there's this giftedness that comes that Christ gives to us, and we have to use it for his glory. You use that in transformed relationships as well. In verse 12, we see that it says they're responsible, the church, the head of the church, is responsible to equip God's people to do his work, right? That word equipping, right? That word equipping means like the restoration, like setting a bone or having an Achilles heal properly. Right, that's what it looks like. It's this equipping or making become wholeness or fitting together or moving toward wholeness and completion, right? And I love that God gives us this. It's for this equipping. You know, I think about what happened with my Achilles. I tore my Achilles for the third time, and they put me in a major cast, big cast. It was all the way up to here. And that cast, my Achilles is back here, but why did they go all the way up here, right? They're helping my leg heal properly. The top part of my leg, all the muscles and the ligaments come together to strengthen this weak part of my leg. And so when we have the church, there might be brothers and sisters that are kind of weak right now, but some of the ones that are strong right now can help them become and bring them up, right? And equip them to deal with the things that are going with. I love Paul's guy in the New Testament, Barnabas. Barnabas's name actually means son of exhortation, or he was the son of encouragement. If you're someone that is seeking transformed relationships, are you encouraging people? We're called to be an encouragement. What's one of the great things that I love about Bridge City Church and Brighton Heights specifically is that there's so much encouragement happening with one another. There's a lot of people that are in connection groups and doing life together that are encouraging them when things are going tough. I know I need encouragement. Maybe you do. So that's what we're called to do. We're called to encourage, right? A transformed relationship helps others become equipped to do the work of the church and to build it up. We're called to help build up the church. In verse 12, it says built up, which is also this edification. We talked about, if you were here, there were these boxes that represented strongholds or a fort or a castle. That they were maybe things that we were dealing with inside, fear, anxiety, lust, whatever it was. And they were strongholds that was easy to keep people at bay. And we said, we're going to deal with those and get rid of them. Now we're talking about a separate building up, right? We're talking about not just strongholds, but we're also talking about the body of Christ. And so we're being built up. Paul says we're being built up to look like Christ. Now, as the body of Christ grows, we're being built up. We're able to deal with the storms of life when they come our way. We have that sure foundation that we sang about in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talks about the wise and foolish builders. The foolish builder built their house on the kind of a foundation of sand. And when the storms came, what happened to that house? Crashed, broke. But then the wise builder was the one that was credited with building his foundation on the rock. So when the storms of life happen, that house wouldn't go. The same is with our life, right? We're called to have this transformed relation built up, and so that when the storms of life happen, that we're not going to fall. We're not going to give up. We're not going to turn tail and run. We're not going to give up on our faith. We're not going to blame God. We can have doubts, but we're not going to stay there. So when you're in a transform of a relationship, when you're transformed in that relationship with one another, you're helping that other person deal with those storms of life when they come. You might be the only person that has a testimony to speak into that person's life. Share that. I can't tell you how many people came up to me afterward last Sunday and said, That's my story of divorce and brokenness and alcoholism. I can use my story for good. God used my story to redeem and transform so I could become a pastor. I see it now. He can use whatever you're dealing with to help build up another person. Do you see that? He wants to redeem your past so others may know who Jesus is. So transform relationships. Seek to build one another up, not for their own sake, but for the sake of others. In verse 13, we talk about the unity. The unity means oneness or completion, that we're designed for oneness in relationship. We're designed for relationships so we can demonstrate unity. There's nothing more beautiful than when the church functions in unity. But there's nothing more disgraceful when the church functions in disunity. I've been at churches like that. It is awful. It's horrible. It gives Jesus a bad name. It helps people look at the church and they don't see Jesus. They see politics and they see ugliness and gossip and all kinds of other stuff. And so Paul is admonishing and saying, hey, listen, you need to be built up in oneness and have unity. So if you're in a transformative relationship, you're going to seek unity in Jesus' name. You're going to help that person move toward unity. You're helping them understand that they're part of the body of Christ. They're not alone. You're going to help them move toward unity, and you're going to surround that person. So transformative relationship seeks the unity in Jesus' name. Pastor Keith Tusey says that the church is the great outpost of heaven. And if it's not functioning in unity, we're missing the point. We're not being the church. We're being something else. So we're called to be a church that lives in unity. And when you're in a transformative relationship, you're helping people understand what that unity is. Are you doing that in those relationships? I like in verse 14 when he tells us we're no longer immature children. Some of us are we need to like kind of hit that place in our life where we need to continue to grow and move and advance forward. Some of us are stuck. We're stuck in our relationship with God. Maybe we're not growing like we should. And we have this beautiful passage in 14. He says, no longer be like children. He didn't say you are children. He said you're like children. So we need to move away from the things that cause us to be immature, not picking up that offense, right? Not being easily angered, not just being lazy, just frankly. Yeah, we're called to be mature. We're called to move in relationships of maturity. That's what Jesus' church is supposed to look like. Maturity matters. Immaturity is selfishness and demonstrates pride, and maturity is selflessness and demonstrates humility. And so that's what we're called to do. We're called to do this because when those winds come, when those problems come, if someone hears that and they don't have that foundation in Christ, they're going to hear all kinds of other stuff and they're not going to be mature. They'll act like children and then they'll leave the church. Some for good. I'm talking about the big C, big church. They'll leave the faith altogether. I don't want anything to do. All they care about is politics. Not me. That's not me. I care about Jesus and his church. And so transform relationships, spur one another on toward maturity in Christ, and also to be able to stand up to anything the culture throws to us. And that's what mature Christians do. Transform relationships do that. Then here's the one. This is the big one. This is in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. Ooh, this is a tough one. Some people wield this verse like a samurai warrior, ready to just tell you truth in Jesus' name, but there's no love to it. It hurts. I've been on the other end of that before. Other people are too lovey. It's okay. Go ahead and just keep going to that bar. You struggling with alcoholism? It's okay. There needs to be some more truth to that, right? We need to have both. And there's this balance of this speaking truth and love. The great pastor, the late great pastor Warren Wiersbe says, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. We need to have both. We would just be as guilty if we saw a brother and sister in faith who's living like sin, and we just said, we didn't say anything, right? We don't want to enable behavior. We want to help speak truth and love. There's a winsomeness and a tact. You think of John chapter 4 when the woman, he meets the woman at the well. He didn't immediately come guns hot. Boom, boom. I can't believe you did this. You're sleeping with all these people. What did he do? He built relationships. He was winsome. He came with care, not correction. That's what we're called to do. So when we have this, when we're speaking truth in love, you know, we need to have our ears open, our eyes open, our hearts soften. We need to let the Spirit move and give us a good word to say to that brother or sister, and not be like that person is like, I'm just going to speak truth, all truth, and it cuts down. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. So transform relationships, speak truth and love so that the others can become more like Jesus. Truth and love, truth and love. And in verse 16, it says this, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It helps the others grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. They're striving together. I'm going to invite Aaron up now so he can come up here. When we think about this, and it's held together, it's fit together, we think of this church. Think of how it's held together. There's this cooperation. When you're here early enough, you see Aaron leading the team with Mackenzie and everybody else. So you see how they're working in cooperation with one another. They're held together in this unity. They're held together, fit together perfectly. There's this special work that happens. And when we're functioning as a church and we have transparent relationships, we're full of love. There's health. There's growth, right? These are the things that we should try for. Are you in relationships that are helping you grow? Are they full of love? And are they healthy, right? Are they healthy? And that's what we're called to do. We're called to look for those. Proverbs 27, if we're not, and maybe we need to have relationships or friends that speak the hard word to us. In Proverbs 27:6, it says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted. In other words, the writer is saying this, that if you have a friend who's a deep friend, a transformed relationship type of friend, like Melanie. Melanie could speak wounds. She could say tough things to me. And it might hurt, but it's good, right? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And so our relationships, we're called to have these transformed relationships in our life, and they're held together and causing us to strive together, going in the same direction toward Christ. And not towards some other cause or some other thing. All those things are good in and of themselves, but ultimately the bottom line for believers in Jesus' church is move toward Jesus. An isolated Christian cannot minister to others, nor can others minister to him or her. It is impossible for the gifts to be ministered either way. We're not called to live in isolation. We're called to live in transformative relationships. What are your relationships like this morning? I want you to think about that. How do you get those relationships in your life? And here's just some takeaways, right? Find someone that's on the same road as you, but just a little further ahead. You're on the same road. You're striving toward Jesus, but find that person that can speak into your life. You're going to find that person in these connection groups here just in a minute. But find someone that can speak into your life. Begin to build. Once you find that person, begin to build and ask questions and seek God's word and just be near them. Do life. Begin to build on that relationship. And as you do, you're going to find stability. You're going to find community. You're going to find others to help you grow into more like Jesus. And then here's the thing. Here's the next one. I want to just close with this. Is that these are, how do we know that transformation happens in our relationships? There are evidences, right? There are evidences that happen in our lives that tell what is going on. An apple tree bears apples, right? There's evidences. The first one is evidence of transformation is Christ-likeness. Is there a Christ-likeness in your relationships or in you? It's an evidence of transformation is stability. It's not all over the place, up and down. There's a stability, this rock of Jesus that's there. This evidence of transformation is truth joined with love. It's both. It's both. You need both. If you're in a relationship where they're offering you a ton of truth and no love, I would begin to question that. And then another evidence of transformative relationships is cooperation. You're doing life together. You're on this, like, this kind of flow together, right? You're doing this together. So I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you to stand and have a response. And if you can't stand, that's okay. But just heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to ask a question. How is your relationship with Jesus first? Maybe you need him to, maybe you, that relationship needs just kind of a spark. Or you just need to go to him and, Jesus, I've pushed you away. I've kind of stiff-armed you. So I just want to pray now for those of you who are dealing with your relationship with Christ. Father, I pray for those that are feel distant from you. Father, would you draw near to them? Would you wrap your arms around them and know you desire them and love them as far as the east is from the west, as your demonstration that you love us because of the blood of Christ. And so, Father, no matter how far they think they've gone, I pray that you just pick them up and call them back to yourself. Right now, today, you can begin that transformative relationship with you. So I pray blessing and power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And how about right now, I also want to think about this. As maybe a relationship with your spouse and maybe your kids, a family member, or whomever, a friend, that maybe it's gone sideways. Or maybe you need God's transformative love to intervene there. I want to pray for you right now, so let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, I just pray for those relationships, maybe with the spouse. Lord, I pray that they would fall back in love with one another, and I pray that you would be there too, that you would transform that marriage, that that home would be healthy, that the yelling would stop, that the cold shoulder would stop, and Father, you would begin, they would make room for you in their home. So restore those relationships, transform these marriages. It's in Jesus' name. I pray for those that have relationships with their children that are gone sideways. I just pray that you'd be able to take ownership of your stuff and your things, and you would invite God into those places that he begin to work in through you, then you'll be able to work out and deal with your children. So I pray for blessing upon those relationships. And Father, I pray for the friendships that they might have, that they aren't what they used to be, Lord, and maybe they've moved further away, and life happens, and we get that. But Father, help them be a Christian, a believer, a brother and sister that represents you well in those relationships. Maybe extend a phone call, a text message, and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Let's get together. Let's have lunch. And then you begin, your Holy Spirit will begin to move them and draw them closer to you, and you begin to move to repairing and transformation. And so, Father, again this morning, I pray for everybody as they're here. I pray for whatever they are, whatever relationship they can identify in their life. Thank you for the good ones that have shaped them. I thank you for the bad ones that shaped them, but they don't have to stay there. They can learn from it, and you can move them toward transformative relationships. So I pray a blessing upon them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Doug, you may be seated.
Let's give Pastor Ben a hand clap.